May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. For years following Sunday services, I would stop somewhere to have coffee and to pick up the newspaper, and I would immediately turn to the comics. It's what I needed, and the comic strip that I would read more than any other was Peanuts. One of my favorites, Peanuts, by the late Charles Schulz. And one of the comments that has stayed with me begins with Lucy speaking in the first frame. Good old Lucy with that wonderful attitude. She starts out, "Boy, do I feel crabby." And so her brother Linus, always wanting to help, being that good guy, he says, "Maybe I can be of help. Why don't you sit in front of the TV while I go and fix you a nice snack? Sometimes we just need a little pampering to feel better." And in the next frame, Linus brings her a sandwich, a few chocolate chip cookies, and a glass of milk. And he says, "Now, is there anything else I can get you? Is there anything I haven't thought of?" And in the next frame, Lucy screams back, "Yes, there is one thing you haven't thought of. I don't want to feel better." So where are you? And why are you there? Where are you and why are you there? From today's gospel, Jesus speaks, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." This, of course, is the resurrected Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he asks his disciples to reflect on those words. Reflect comes from the Latin, and it means to literally refold the question honestly. Jesus goes on to say that whoever does not love him and does not keep his words, and those words are not only his but God's, will not be part of his followers, will not be part of the kingdom he pronounced. Jesus was instructing his followers that their deepest values must be aligned with all that he has taught and modeled. The disciples must be closely aligned with these in order for them to have any chance at reaching that destination to which God was calling them as individuals, and God was calling them collectively to form the church. And the very same is true for us. If you are not closely aligned with Christ's values, then all of your energy is diverted, distracted by that obvious conflict. The choice was theirs and is ours to live with God in God's peace, or to live in what might be called a subliminal turmoil or a subconscious turmoil. To be crabby, like Lucy in the Peanuts comic strip. To not want to feel good. You You see, Jesus was preparing to ascend to the Father in heaven, and he passionately spoke with the disciples to live in the now of God. To live in the now of God. The Holy Spirit would come and strengthen them and guide them in this life. But they had to live in the now of God. Jesus says to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Christ is calling them to live in the now, to live past the trials and tribulations that they have been through, to live past the crucifixion of Christ that they witnessed, to live in the now of God and that place to which God was calling them. And the same is true for you. Do not let your past trials, your past difficulties, your past sufferings dictate your present course. You see, once you can honestly come to terms with where you are, you know, are you in that place of Lucy or not? See, once you can come to honestly addressing that, then you can commit to living in the now of God. One of the great illusions I have seen in people's thinking and emotions in my years of pastoral counseling and in my own life is the belief that the past is what is responsible for the current conditions in our lives. It is not that you should deny your past, but rather you should acknowledge it, deal with it as effectively as possible, and then move on. When you insist on continuing to be wounded, that is where you will be stuck. Unable to move forward toward the destination that God desires for you. That was Jesus' fear for the disciples, that they would continue to stay in that woundedness of what had just had happened to their Messiah and to each of them. The same is true for us. It's like stepping in the deep mud of a pasture, which lots of us are going to have again. After a heavy rain, with your boots on and trying to take a step forward, it'll pull your boot off. You get stuck. Let go of your attachment to the past. Stop blaming the past for your present situation. It only hurts you. It only hurts you and holds you back from going forward to the place to which God is calling. Now, way beyond living in the past is to live each day in gratitude. Live each day being thankful. Listen again to those words of today's collect. And remember that in Anglican liturgy, Episcopal liturgy, the collect comes from the English word, which means to collect, or the collection of our thoughts, the collection of the theme of the readings for the day. So the collect of the day captures in essence all of what this particular Sunday is about. And it says, "O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding." Each day, begin by giving thanks to God for someone or something in particular. This is part of my daily spiritual practice on the way in. It's what I do in the car I begin in prayer in the car, and I begin by giving thanks for something that could be very simple, we might think is mundane, to some of the most profound things. How many of you gave thanks for the rain today? Or did you curse it? I looked out in my driveway as I paused, as I was coming in for the early service this morning. I saw that the grass had already grown 2 inches since 2 days ago. And I gave thanks for the growth of the grass. We all of us here, have so much to be thankful for. Highly functioning people have an uncanny ability to live in this thankfulness in the now. They are able to shut out the past and even the future and live for the moment, live for the day. These are the people that give us their full attention when we are speaking with them or they are speaking to us. These are the people that when they are in church, they are present to the liturgy and to God. Living in the now means ridding yourself of worry. Jesus knew that and taught the disciples not to be anxious. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Do not be afraid. I shared recently in one of my classes, and I'll share it with you, a way that I heard it said most beautifully about worry. It said, first, it makes no sense to worry about things you have no control over, because if you have no control over them, it makes no sense to worry about them. Second, it makes no sense to worry about the things you do have control over, because if you have control, it makes no sense to worry. And think about it. That takes care of everything. Finally, to live in the now of God, we must let go of our fear of aging and death. The 17th century poet John Milton beautifully wrote, "Fly, envious time, till thou run out thy race. Then long eternity shall greet our bliss with an individual kiss. Then all this earthly grossness quit, attired with stars, we shall forever sit, triumphing over death and chance. And thee, O time." Milton in the 1600s knew that people must free themselves from the inevitable process of worrying about aging and death. And for the Christian, there seems to be the challenge of understanding that if we really believe what we profess, how do we begin to enjoy our eternal nature in this world? Jesus proclaimed this challenge. This life is uncertain and unstable, both for his disciples and for us. However, our faith in Jesus Christ and understanding our nature as spiritual beings with a physical body rather than as physical beings with a spirituality brings great stability. I believe it brings the very peace of Christ. It is why Jesus said today, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Amen.